podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It will give Tottenham fans hope, belief. As much as I don't think it would be the right appointment, I am definitely not saying it's something I don't want. I'd love to have him back. I just don't think the timing is right.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name's James, and for the benefit of those listening on the audio, you are listening to my regular, which has not been regular for a while, YouTube live stream, Ask James, where I welcome questions on anything football related from the YouTube community. And I suspect much of this may well be dominated by the big news this morning that Mauricio Pochettino might, and I reiterate, might be coming back to Tottenham. Let's see who's in the chat and go through these. And I can see the very first comment is from Andre Sosa. Pochettino Spurs question. Okay. So here's where we're at. Spurs are in talks with Pochettino or Pochettino's representatives. The understanding is that Pochettino is open and willing, remarkably, to return to the club that sacked him only around about 19 months ago. Paris Saint-Germain do not want Pochettino to go. They don't want a third upheaval of manager in the last couple of years or so. Pochettino has a year left on his contract, and currently PSG do not want Pochettino to go. There is a scheduled meeting between Pochettino and Leonardo, PSG sporting director, on Monday in relation to PSG's transfer targets for the summer. There is possibly no story here at all. As one source in France has said this morning, Tottenham may be trying to create a fire in someone else's house to hide the arson in their own home. That arson being the fact that they sacked Pochettino before appointed Mourinho and are now in trouble. There's also the possibility of the suggestion that Tottenham are still undecided on who they want as manager, and using Pochettino in news outlets may well be a part of calming dissatisfaction from fans, and also the possibility that mentioning Pochettino's name and the idea that perhaps to Tottenham fans that Pochettino is first choice will then make them be more receptive to whoever is appointed, because Tottenham tried to get Pochettino back. I'd say there's no smoke without fire, the way the kind of the stories moved this morning. I'm not convinced that it's going to happen. If it is, I suspect this all might happen very, very quickly. From 2 days ago wasn't in the running. Something somewhere, whether some conversation has happened, I don't know. Levy and Pochettino did remain friends following the sacking. There was no acrimonious get out the kind of club. Daniel Levy felt that Tottenham needed to change the direction. It had gone stale under Pochettino. And even when he was sacked, I found it difficult to argue with the decision, because Tottenham's performances in 2019, despite getting the Champions League final, disintegrated so badly. However, what I watched over the last 18 months or so was a lot worse than that. I think, to sum up, I think reappointing Mauricio Pochettino as Tottenham manager now would be a mistake. I think it would be a mistake because I think there are too many players at that football club who let Pochettino down, and they're still there. The plus side is, if he comes back, Pochettino spoke in the summer after the Champions League final about a difficult rebuild, that Tottenham were going to have to suffer some pain to go through a rebuild. That rebuild didn't particularly happen. If Pochettino gets the chance to make that happen, then it's possibly a good appointment, because he goes into the club, he knows 70-80% of the players already, hasn't got to get, other than a few new players, hasn't got to get to know the majority of them again. The chances are he'll have the money from at least the Harry Kane sale. I don't think if Pochettino came back would affect what's happened with Kane. It does look like Harry Kane's going to go. It will give Tottenham fans hope, belief. As much as I don't think it would be the right appointment, I am definitely not saying it's something I don't want. I'd love to have him back. I just don't think the timing is right. I think many Tottenham fans would believe that when he went, it was always left open that one day he would return. I don't think any of us thought it would come round this quickly. I think it might be that Tottenham are not convinced by any of the people that they've spoken to in relation to trying to get a new manager. And the problem is, and this is where I think the links have kind of surfaced over the last couple of days, is when Daniel Levy described in his programme notes before the Aston Villa defeat what he was looking for and what Tottenham would be looking for in a new manager, he basically described Maurizio Pochettino. And that, in hindsight, might have led them to believe, hang on, we had the manager that was the right manager for the football club. I'm not convinced that it will go well, but I'm definitely not going to complain if it happens. The skeptic in me believes that it still probably won't. However, if you'd said to me 48 hours ago, I'd have said to you, and I said this to on our Patreon podcast, that I thought Roberto Martinez was probably going to get the job. And since then, it appears Roberto Martinez has been ruled out, because the one categorical thing that the ITKs involved with Tottenham are saying is that whoever it's going to be, they need to negotiate to get the manager out of his club. Obviously, Roberto Martinez, manager of Belgium. And I believe he's going to be standing down as Belgium manager after the tournament either way. So that appears to rule Martinez out. I guess it rules out Ralf Rangnick as well, who's unattached. And it probably leaves Potter, Ten Hag and Pochettino as the three names, potentially. The likes of Antonio Conte, Zinedine Zidane, you can rule them out. It's not happening. So those look like they're going to be the three names, Potter, Ten Hag or Pochettino. I have a feeling that it might still be Ten Hag, personally. But if it's Potter, I'm not going to complain. That man gave me the best few years of my life supporting Spurs, no doubt about it. And the fan-manager relationship has never been stronger in the 30 years I've been going. I'm sceptical to saying, yes, this is going to happen. And the news over the last couple of hours is PSG don't know what's going on. They're like, there's no story here. So it could be this is something started up by the UK press, but reliable journalists like Jack Pitbrook from The Athletic seem to think that talks are happening between Tottenham and Pochettino. And that gives more substance than some credibility in The Sun saying that Pochettino's been linked again and stuff. Okay, let's see what else we've got. Andre Sosa says, Allegri to Juventus. Well, that's done, apparently, according to Fabrizio Romano. When I saw Fabrizio's tweet earlier, I wondered if he'd mistyped Allegri to Juventus rather than Real Madrid, because my understanding was that Allegri had just been waiting for the Real Madrid job to come up. And then it came out last night that Zidane was leaving Real Madrid. So the fact that Allegri was going back to Juventus, apparently Allegri's got frustrated waiting so long for Real Madrid. But now the Real Madrid job is up, he's going to take over back at Juventus and Andrea Pirlo is going to be sacked. Strange one. So, I mean, Andre's mentioned Antonio Conte to Real Madrid, Zinedine Zidane possibly to PSG. If obviously Pochettino did go to Spurs, yes, you could see that kind of managerial merry-go-round possibly happening, possibly started by Pochettino himself. Dylan Farrell says, lots of Ollie out talking with staying on managers. Lots of Ollie out talk going on in Slack. James is referring to our Patreon Slack channel. There's lots of talk amongst the Manchester United patrons this morning. Not sure Conte or Zidane improve us with the current squad we have. Funny how a one-off game against a very well-drilled side resulted in this. So, look, reality is, if Manchester United had won last night, and watching the game during the second half, they were the only team likely to win the game. I know they didn't do enough, and they'll be disappointed with their performance. But United win that trophy. Finally, Solskjaer's got the monkey off his back. He's won a trophy and no one says anything this morning. It's the anger and the disappointment from losing a game of football that really Manchester United shouldn't have lost. But Villarreal were very well drilled. They were defensively strong. For all the domination that United had of the ball, particularly in that second half period, they never really threatened Villarreal's goal in terms of scoring. And we've seen this problem being countered many times over with Manchester United. You know, Bruno was quite quiet. I know Pogba played in a deeper role. They put their best 11 on the pitch in terms of attacking players, and he didn't want to change it. This was a problem we spoke about with United a year ago. Big drop off from the first 11 to what's in reserve. Now, obviously, I had people like Anthony Martial, Harry Maguire, obviously out injured last night. but that drop-off in quality still remains. I mean, they brought Donny van de Beek in. He decided not to use him last night. I thought it would have been an ideal game with his kind of movement behind the forwards to actually bring him into the game, possibly even play Bruno a little bit deeper in extra time, but he's obviously got no faith in him, so didn't use him. If United win yesterday, no one talks about Solskjaer. Plus, he's happened at all the same time with all this stuff with Pochettino, Conte, Zidane, and suddenly United fans are looking at it and going, well, some top managers might be back on the market. Should we go and act? I think on the whole, Manchester United have had a decent season. It's definitely not Manchester United standards. Manchester United should never really, as a football club, be accepting anything other than first. But actually, I think there's been progress to the extent that me and Suj discussed this a couple of weeks ago. We're probably at the point where Solskjaer's job was no longer in question. And I've had a long-held belief that, which has possibly been a bit harsh, that United wouldn't get to where they want to get to under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. But I've seen some things tactically this year, like the performance at the Etihad, like the 6-2 against Leeds, which suggests to me that there is something there. And he's building a young team, and I think they're looking to invest in more younger and, in many cases, British players to help kind of revamp that team. There's still a few players short. It was another conversation we had last week. I said, so if Harry Kane goes to Manchester United, does that change their prospects to win the league next year? And our answer was no, because they still need to do something with the central midfield area and the central defensive position. Although, ironically, I thought United's best player last night was Scott McTominay. But I think that there's a partner needed for him in that area that allows him to be what he was last night, which was energetic, and that was allowed also because Villarreal played so deep in the game. But no, I don't think that changing manager is necessarily the right route for Manchester United, but it puts it in an awkward position for the summer again, where if they start next season badly and very quickly find out by September, October that they can't win the league, then the questions are going to be asked again, and the pressure keeps continuing because they've lost so many high-profile cup games. I don't think changing it's right, though, even though I don't think that United will go to where they want to be under Solskjaer necessarily. It's not easy to catch Man City. It's the cup defeats that I think have frustrated United fans the most. British says, given the pool of probable managers, who would you love to see at Spurs next season? I literally just want someone who will come in and try and play football the right way. So to be honest, I mean, the three names that I'm mentioning now for the Tottenham job in Ten Hag is still being linked. Potter, Pochettino, I'll be okay with any of them. I think the biggest risk is possibly Pochettino because of how players may be receptive. What happened was a lot of the players got bored with the same training methods under Pochettino, thought they would work too hard, particularly those who were regularly not in the team. But then it went so far the other way under Mourinho, where the players believed that they were undercoached. And now they're reflecting on going, actually, under Pochettino, it was all right, wasn't it? We worked hard, we were well-drilled, etc. We could play different systems, different styles of play. But almost Pochettino's the biggest risk, I think. I can't see Ten Hag or Potter not taking Tottenham forward. I think if Tottenham appoint Pochettino, it could yet get worse before it gets better. And once he's in charge, Pochettino, Levy can't sack him again. If Levy reappoints Pochettino, the only way Pochettino goes is if Pochettino decides he wants to go. Levy can't. If Tottenham finish 10th next year, what's Levy going to do at the end of the year? He can't sack him again. Even if Tottenham finish 13th, 14th, he can't sack him again. Fans will go mental. The fans are not stupid. They know that a lot of the players at Tottenham are not good enough. And this big rebuild that Pochettino suggested we needed has to happen. I just want someone to come in who can help bring us back our identity. Yes, if it's Pochettino, immediately, overnight, we have that feeling back that we can believe in the manager in charge of the team. So with every passing minute, the more I come accustomed to the idea and think, yeah, I'd love to have Poch back. But as I said, as a pessimist, I don't really want to attach my heart to that at the moment. British says also, who would be the realistic replacement for Kane at Spurs? This many times earlier, I had a conversation with one of our patrons, Matt, Clean Sheet Wipeout, earlier today about Danny Ings. Absolutely convinced that Tottenham will go for Danny Ings. I know it's a player that Pochettino really liked as well, if Poch comes back. Dylan Farrell said, also, I see Poch to Spurs' story has wheels now. Which dead wood do you think should be cleared out? and who'd be your realistic replacements? Enjoy your first weekend off in a while. The whole squad can go, all of them. All of them from, Poch is going to reinvigorate Dele Alli. Dele Alli wants to go, go. Heung-min Son wants to go, go. They can all go. It absolutely has to start again from the bottom up. And Tottenham need to go back to buying young, cheap, excellent talent like Dele Alli, and Eric Dier was great when he came in, etc. In terms of realistic targets, I think there are loads in the bottom half of the Premier League that Tottenham could be looking at. I think Poch might, talking about Danny Ings, Poch might come back for Kyle Walker-Peters. You might look at someone like James Ward-Prowse. There are loads of talents in the bottom half of the league. Wies Bissouma at Brighton, Dunk, Ben White at Brighton. There are loads just in the bottom half of the Premier League who I think Tottenham could go and target, and it would be very interesting. The problem with buying in the Premier League, it would be more expensive than actually buying overseas. Tottenham, I've said this many times, began to do well because they bought the best championship talent. And I think there are players that Tottenham can be looking at from the likes of Reading, Brentford, Swansea, who, if patience is given, could prove to be very good Premier League players in the future. It's not about going and spending 80, 90 million on a Kane replacement. It's not what should happen. I think Danny Ings will be the option for Tottenham because he's proven in the league, and it's a short-term option for a couple of years while they identify someone that they can then bring through behind Danny Ings. That's what I'd expect. Rowan S says, how do you see the playoff finals going? Also, if Poch does come back, will he be given the free rein to build the squad as he originally stated before leaving? Well, if he comes back, Rowan, he has to. Otherwise, why the fuck is he coming back, right? Playoff finals, good question. I can see Brentford-Swansea going all the way to penalties. I think it'll be close, very close. Brentford have got a little bit more in terms of firepower, obviously, with even Tony. But I think it'll be close. I wouldn't be surprised if that goes all the way to penalties. The League One final, the amazing story if Lincoln beat Blackpool, because obviously they were a non-league team only a few years ago, done very well under Michael Appleton. But Blackpool have obviously had their own financial difficulties over the last few years and finished the League One season very well. So I think it'd be an amazing story for whoever comes up between those two. And in League Two, Morecambe and Newport, isn't it? Morecambe also finished very well in League Two. I caught a little bit of their playoff semi-final second leg with Tranmere on Sunday. I was watching that while trying to get over my hangover and before my deadline stream. And I would probably fancy them, Morecambe, probably to come up from League Two. Ben Rosario, is there going to be a Planet FPL mini league for Euro 2020 fantasy? Yes, there will be. As said previously, me and Suj will be podding during the Euros. So our intention is probably to do a kind of half hour daily show, Monday to Friday, all through the Euros, which knowing us will probably end up being 45 minutes or an hour if it's the day after England play. Yes, it will be very Euro focused, but we'll certainly have a strong element of Euro fantasy in there as well. Yes, I will set up a Euro 2020 mini league. I'm in no rush to do it, to be very honest. Joe Jenkins says, all right, James, what are you having for dinner tonight? I haven't got a clue, mate. Had an omelette this morning, very nice. What am I having for dinner? Not a Scooby-Doo, mate. Wavy, what do you think of Matt Taylor, Spurs under 18 coach, going to Walsall? You asked me that in the comments the other day, and I said to you that Matt Taylor was quite highly rated for what he was doing at Tottenham, but obviously it's a to then get a league manager's job is very much an unknown. But I know he was very well thought of amongst the circles at Tottenham and was doing quite good things. Stian Bosdale says, just dropping by to say hello. Nerves building for the weekend. Stian is a Chelsea fan. Has news dropped on the next manager for Spurs? No, but I think I've covered it. Neil Thompson says, afternoon, James. Who do you think will be dark horses for the Euros outside of the usual suspects? Or do you feel that the best loser third place in the groups makes it almost impossible for an upset? It depends the way the draw lines, right? So whoever finishes third in that France, Portugal, Germany group, they're going to end up probably on the side of the draw that's going to be ridiculous. Remember in the World Cup in 2018, I think a lot of people forget this, England's side of the draw had Spain. Spain lost on penalties to Russia. And that's what really opened up that half of the draw where Russia, Sweden, Denmark, Croatia, England all suddenly went, oh my God, Colombia, one of us is going to be in the World Cup final. And it probably needs something like that to open up. Obviously, the Euros has a history of upset, even winners. Denmark in 92, Greece, of course, in 2004. I would have thought the most unlikely, or the most likely rather, for a dark horse would perhaps be Turkey. I would have thought. Difficult group with obviously Italy, Switzerland, Wales. No guarantee they'll even get out of that, to be honest. But I think if they do, and they build up a bit of momentum, every chance they might do okay. They could be a little bit of an outsider. But I think the winner will come from the usual suspects. Plus, if England get to the last 16 and win their last 16 game, they've obviously got a great chance once that momentum is built up. Ben Rosario, best guess for what happens in the group of death. France, Germany, Portugal, Hungary. Hungary definitely got the short straw, didn't they? I would think Germany might finish third in that group. Possibly France first, Portugal second. I wouldn't be surprised if France, Portugal's the final. I haven't done enough research as yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up being the final. So I think France, Portugal, Germany, probably in that order. One win will probably get them out of the group. They're all going to know if they don't beat Hungary, they're in danger, depending on obviously when they play them in the schedule. But I think even if Germany just beat Hungary, should be enough to qualify. Germany, Portugal, France are obviously well capable of beating each other, but I suspect it might be Germany third. That wouldn't mean that I don't think Germany can go far. It definitely, absolutely is the group of death. I would make France favourites personally still at the moment. Angus McPhail, who are the seven players you would cut from England's provisional squad for the Euros? Oh crap, I wish I had a list in front of me. I would go Johnston over Ramsdale. Personally, I would leave Trippier out of the fullbacks. I know he's had a very good season at Atletico Madrid. He's been named in the Liga team of the season. I also, having watched Kieran Trippier for a long time, have a very good understanding of what his abilities are. And Trips is not a bad player. He had a couple of bad seasons for Tottenham. It's not a bad player. I just think the other three players are better. Kieran Trippier is a better player than played at the World Cup 3 years ago, ironically. He's definitely developed. But I still think it's the easiest one to left out. Does anybody really sit here and think, Walker, James, Trent, Trippier? Let's start with Trippier. No one really is of that opinion, are they? If there are, there can't be many. And to be fair, it must be someone who watches a lot more La Liga football than me. I think Trippier would miss out. Of the centre-backs, I'm really annoyed that Lewis Dunk's not been called up. Those who listen to me regularly will know that. I have no problem with Ben White being called up, by the way, although I think he's been Brighton's third best centre-back this season. I think Adam Webster's probably been better. But I don't mind it because his future thinking, and also the other benefit with Ben White is not that he'll be needed, but he can cover at right-back, right-wing-back. Where he might be needed is he can play in midfield as well. He's done that a lot of times for Brighton. So I think that versatility gives him a great chance. I think it's likely that he'll probably miss out. I think it's possible that Godfrey will miss out as well. I think in midfield, it's really dependent on who's fit. So Calvin Phillips obviously dislocated his shoulder. Jordan Henderson, I know he's on the bench for Liverpool on Sunday, but he hasn't played football for a long time. I think they're both in the squad if they're fit, which might mean that JWP, James Ward-Prowse, might be an unfortunate one to miss out. I think I'd be surprised if Ollie Watkins was in the final squad. Personally, see a lot of people saying can't believe Bamford's in the final 33. Bamford wouldn't have been in the squad anyway, in my opinion. I think Ollie Watkins might miss out. I think probably one of Greenwood or Saka, possibly even both, will miss out. Again, it's really dependent who stays fit. I mean, for example, if Ben Chilwell was to get injured on Saturday in the Champions League final, there's every chance that England would take all four of them right backs. Because I think Southgate would look at probably Trippier as a backup for Luke Shaw, for example. And I thought that last night Luke Shaw took a heavy whack, didn't he, in the challenge from Juan Foyth. So it's so dependent on the fitness, and that's going to have a real, real big impact. I think there is a small possibility to throw a surprise name that I think might miss out. I think there's a small possibility that Marcus Rashford might miss out. And I say that because I just know, I'm watching it again last night. I mean, fuck's sake, he's received disgusting abuse again on social media last night. I think there's a small chance that they make a decision and go, we've got so much talent in these areas, this man is carrying injuries. is he going to start for England? I don't think he does at the moment, actually. I think we've gone away from the idea of, oh, we've got to have two fast players either side from of Harry Kane. And now looking at it going, can we... Foden's got to play. I think everybody's finally on board with how good Mason Mount is now. I want Jack Grealish in that team. So you can have all these pacey players, but ain't many of them's going to play. And I think international football technicians are very important. England will regularly come up against sides who will defend deep, particularly the weaker nations, if you will. We'll defend deeper. So in terms of the pace element of the game, it's very difficult. They would be of better use against sides that will obviously want to dominate the ball against England. But then I think if we put the likes of Grealish, Mount, Foden in the team, we've got to believe that we can dominate the ball against some of these sides. For me, it's time we had belief in what we've got. We've got some extremely good footballers. The attacking players who miss out are going to be very unfortunate, I think. Dennis Maximov, thoughts on Man United bottling the Europa League title while he's off the wheel? I've kind of covered bottling. What does it mean? Well, because they didn't win. Everybody doesn't win a big game, do they bottle it? I mean, if Man City don't win Champions League final Saturday, if they bottled it, what does it mean? Sometimes you have to give some credit to the opposition. Villarreal made their task very, very difficult. I really don't like the bottling it tag. Joe Finney Badder says, how mad is it that in the space of 6 months, Etienne Capoue went from scoring an own goal at Huddersfield in the Championship to winning the Europa League? Should he have been given more time at Spurs? Got a lot of love for Etienne Capoue. Good player. I saw him, the first time I saw him, we bought him from Toulouse. And he came on at Palace opening day of the 13-14 season. And you knew he had ability. You could tell that straight away. Then we played Swansea the week after. He was playing the pitch by a mile. Was it? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Swansea. But he always suffered with injuries. I think there were games where he went missing. I think he's the sort of player that actually would walk in the Tottenham team now. Because he has every facet of ability that you would want in a central midfield player. It's definitely good enough to play Europa League, Champions League level. What he did very well for Joe's team, Watford as well. I'm not surprised that his career's turned out well. It was in a bad place at Tottenham. I mean, when Pochettino took over, I'm pretty sure he played Capoue at the start. Sure he did. And he had a brief spell where he did quite well. Then the injuries came in again. Then obviously Pochettino went to play, evolved to a really pressing system, which wasn't overly suitable for Capoue, so it kind of made him expendable. But I'm not surprised he's done well with his career, Joe. Liked him as a player. Nick Griffith, hi James, hope everything is good your way. Yeah, not too bad, thank you, mate. Renard 9. The Pens last night were among some of the best I've seen in regards to the 5-10 of the team. Have you seen better pens from players who didn't want to step up? Was watching the game, I was thinking no one's ever missing it. I'd got to the point where I'd become so convinced that neither goalkeeper was going to save a penalty that I thought someone's actually going to have to miss the target, hit the post, hit the bar, put it over, put it wide, was the only way it was going to end. Eventually, the Villarreal keeper obviously saved one. Quality was good, but I mean, some of them should have been saved. What was the... I mean, Bruno Fernandes was lucky his went in, and there was another United one that should have been saved as well. I can't remember. It was so fucking many. I can't remember now. Quality was good. Don't get me wrong. But I think with more, let's say, penalty saving experts. And that's one of the things that's really annoyed United fans. I think De Gea hasn't saved. I think it's now. He hasn't saved one of his last 35 penalties or something now, including last night. And Henderson saved, what, 3 or 4 in the last 18 months or so? Or 3 or 4 of his last 6 or 7, something like that. So there was a lot of people, rather than United bringing on penalty takers in the last minutes last night, I think we're hoping that Henderson was going to come on. Tour 17. Hi, James. If you could only hire a Spurs manager from the past 20 years, other than Pochettino, to be the next manager, who would it be? That's quite a tough question. I don't think there's any that I would want. Because, you know, people like Harry Redknapp too old now. Martin Jones disappeared off the scene. Those are the ones that had acceptable performances at Tottenham. The rest, you wouldn't want to go anywhere near. So I'm not sure I could really answer that. I mentioned Harry Redknapp maybe doing a job for Tottenham at the end of this season, just gone, maybe for 8 games or so, just to get a bit of that positivity and morale around the place again. but wouldn't want him back as manager. Martin Joel, is, I don't even know what Martin Joel's doing now, to tell you the truth. James Hill, Euro Fantasy, first player on your team. It's probably got to be Harry, isn't it? Harry Kane, great captaincy option. I think it's probably the one, isn't he? England have a tough group. I don't think he's going to go mental, but Kane's got to be up there with golden boot potential possibilities, isn't he? I think he's probably the one for me, mate. Angus McPhail has said above, all the pens last night were great, but which Villarreal pen was the best for you? I love Albiol, a centre-back run up, just rolling it into the corner. Yes, I agree with that. However, if De Gea had gone the right way, it might have been one he'd actually saved. Gary Speak, yo, James Baby, how you doing? You had coffee and fish and chips. I have had a coffee this morning. Yeah, I haven't had fish and chips. A bit early for that, mate. Craig Davis, hi, James. Fully recovered from the hangover yet or still tasting Jaeger? Love your work. I'm okay now. Genuinely, I was still feeling hungover a little bit yesterday morning. I feel absolutely fine now. But honestly, that Saturday absolutely brutalised me. I don't recommend it to anyone. It's not big or clever. Alistair Cooper said, starting my Euro fantasy yesterday, interested to hear whether you've had a look yet and who you like the look of. Cheers. I haven't. In all honesty, no, Alistair. I'll probably start having a look over the weekend next week. I couldn't tell you prices of 99% of the players, so wrong for me to advise at this stage. But by the time me and Suj start doing proper Euro build up on June the 7th, I'll know it inside out. TJ Power, hi James, very simple one and not in any way Spurs related. How much is a pint in Wembley Stadium? Oh crap, I know you've got a ticket to watch Swansea at the weekend, my friend. I don't know, my dad bought it when we went to the final, the Carabao Cup final. I want to say like £5.50, something like that maybe. I'm really not sure though. King Flipper loves Beck Olivia. Good Ebonim, my friend. Unai Emery speaking here. Haha. Congratulations, Unai. Dylan Farrell is responding to Angus. Thank you, Dylan. Rob Westaway. Hi, James. The Graham Jones appointment for England seems like a smart move. Do you think he has time to make an impact before the Euros? I absolutely love that, by the way. The other beauty as well is the majority of the squad, I'm trying to think, other than maybe Tyrone Mings, won't have ever worked with him before, so it'd be something new and fresh, and I quite like that. I think it could be a major positive. I mean, it's difficult to equate if the impact he's had at Newcastle can be the same with England, because talking about a different style and quality of footballer, etc. But it seems like a great idea to get him on board. Soon people are going to start talking about him as a manager, but maybe he doesn't have the man management skills, maybe he's just a great coach. Tim Shannis has got a cheeky £20 stick on Champions League. Both teams to score and City win, a good punt. Well, I would recommend, Tim, before you use the cheeky £20, you listen to tomorrow's Clash of Correspondents. We'll be previewing the Champions League final with FPL Pringle and Rotation FPL. Atul Balaji, did you see Moreno celebrating for beating United and celebrating with YNMA? I presume it's meant to be You Never Walk Away Alone, Liverpool. Thoughts on it? I don't have any thoughts on it particularly. I think that sort of shit comes back and bites people on the arse, but really care for or against. I don't quite get that. I mean, he's trying to just maintain a good rep amongst his former club, Liverpool, isn't he? In case he ever wants to go there and needs a free meal or something. I don't think it's particularly on, but I don't really care one way for the other for it either, mate. And Mark says, Poch is Spurs distraction for when they sell Kane to Chelsea. I don't think we're going to Chelsea, mate. I keep saying this. The only reason he'll go to Chelsea is if Chelsea pay a ridiculous amount of money. And we're talking to, I think, 140 million, something like that. That Tottenham are not going to want to do business with Chelsea unless Chelsea are the only serious bidder and unless Harry Kane says, I want to go to Chelsea. And I don't see either of those things happening. TJ Powell, when you talked about United offering 80 million plus Martial for Kane not being realistic, do you think Spurs would accept 100 million plus Van der Beek? Well, what I meant, I think, when I said that, TJ, was I don't know if it's realistic to assume that Martial would be happy to go to Tottenham, for example. I think Van der Beek, probably, particularly if, say, Ten Hag was to become Tottenham manager, would look at that and go, oh, okay, yeah, I can go and play Premier League football now. So probably would be more realistic. What did United pay for him? 40 million? I think yes. What would Martial's market value be? 60. I mean, value-wise, it's probably fine. I'm just not convinced that a Martial would want to go to Tottenham. I mean, ideally, I look at, say, if Kane's going to go to Man City, and I'd be half tempted to go, well, you can have Kane for free, but I want Laporte, Bernardo Silva, and another young player. I go, cool, just call it quits. I'd be all right with that. Atul Balaji, what are your thoughts on the possibility of Lampard to Wolves? I think it's Bernd Large, is it? Benfica manager. It's almost a lock that he's going to be the Wolves manager, is my understanding. Paul H says, hi, James. Conte to Spurs. Can't see it. Be very surprised. Clean sheet wipe. But afternoon, James. You were right about the Poch chat. Yeah. Atul Balaji, what are your thoughts on Premier League teams buying Jack O'Connell from Sheffield United for a back four? Do we know when he's out of injury? I thought he was great last year. I can't say I've ever seen Jack O'Connell play in a back four, so I don't think I can give you a good answer for that, really, at all. It's obviously left-sided centre-back in a back three for Sheffield United, so would he work in a back four? I've never seen him play in a back four. I can't really answer that. Andy Cairn says Southgate might be in the available manager pool for next season. I think he's more likely to have a break, though. I know that Tottenham have interest in Southgate, by the way. But I don't think Tottenham could afford to wait for a situation where, say, England went out in the group stage and he became available. And even then, I think, what would the fan reaction be if England went out in the group stage and Tottenham appointed Gareth Southgate? Probably wouldn't be good. So he's probably off the table. But Tottenham have sounded out Southgate many times to say, look, in the future, we would be interested in talking to you. Would it be hard if England go out in the last 16 and lose to France? Is that a disaster? Lose to one of the best teams in the tournament? I think in an odd way, if we got to the quarter final and lost to a lesser nation, that would be worse, wouldn't it? In a roundabouts way, we're going to have a bloody tough last 16 game. And even the group's not easy, right? You've got World Cup finalist Croatia. We know Czech Republic are improving. And Scotland, no jokes. I look at Scott McTominay last night and think, tell you what, midfielder McTominay and Gilmore is not going to be bad for Scotland. So they're in the best position they've been in for a very long time as well. So, not straightforward that England will definitely do well this summer. Admittedly, with the players we've got, yes, we should. What's realistic for us? Do we really, I know in our hearts we can kind of thump our chests as England fans, go, I want to win the tournament. I don't think England will. I'm convinced that the first good team we'll play will probably go out, because I think there's too many problems still defensively. And we have to learn to retain the ball in international football. And unless we get the likes of Grealish, Foden, etc. all on the pitch, I'm still not convinced that's particularly going to happen. But I wouldn't see Southgate losing his job. I think it'd have to be disastrous. Is that disastrous? If we lose to France in the last 16, is that a disaster for England this summer? It's not where we want to finish, but would we look at it and go, okay, well, maybe we've just lost to the best team in the tournament with Kylian Mbappe, etc. Johnson Hemingway, do you think Poch is resigned to losing Kane, or he thinks he still has a chance he stays? The only way Harry Kane stays at Tottenham right now is if no one meets Daniel Levy's asking price. But I think the things we've seen from Kane over the last couple of weeks makes me think that a deal might already be in place. I think he's probably going to Manchester City. If Harry Kane starts next season as a Tottenham player, I won't be massively surprised. I don't think Pochettino coming in will have any influence one way or the other. I think this is literally now about, will someone pay the asking price for Harry Kane? I think Tottenham could probably appoint Guardiola tomorrow. It wouldn't make a difference. I think, other than the fact probably Kane wants to play for Guardiola. But I think you get the principle of what I'm saying. This is just about money now. Will someone pay the money for Kane? Otherwise, if not, then there's still a chance he'll stay. Paul Spencer, 007, if Poch does come and the rebuild does happen, do you trust him to bring in the right players? It's a good question. The answer is yes, because I think he left so much reflection on what happened. Yes, I think he needs to have the choice of who those players are, by the way, and not get told who they are. I think he needs to stand up for himself a lot more. I still believe no one will ever change my opinion. I think Pochettino was offered a lot of players and said no to a lot of them because he is so strict in terms of believing that they have to be the right profile, age, personality, technical abilities. He is so strict in the type of player that he wants that there's a lot of players that I know that he turned down that Tottenham could have bought and he didn't want them. All that period of saying Tottenham didn't buy anyone for a year, a lot of that was because of Pochettino as well. There were a lot of players that he were offered might not have been his first choice, but he kept saying no. But yes, I think he knew that that rebuild needed to happen. He knows there's a lot of shit in that squad, but it will take a long time to fix. There isn't overnight fix. Tottenham could sell Kane and buy 8-9 players this summer. It's not going to get Tottenham in the top four next year. This is painful. It's painful because there are so many bad players at that football club. This is going to take a while. Clean sheet wipeout. Apologies if you've already covered this as I came in late, but which seven do you think miss out? I did cover it, mate. We spoke about Ward-Prowse earlier, and good to hear you think he's on the plane. I think he is, but I think if all the midfielders are fit, as I said, mate, I think he could miss out. Adam English, Sheffield United just appointed a new manager, Slavica Jokanović. Is that right? Well, it's an interesting appointment because he got Watford up and was then dismissed. Similarly at Fulham, I wouldn't say he had a bad spell, was a little bit unfortunate, I think, to lose his job from memory. That is confirmed in the last 6 minutes. Slavica Jokanović is the new Sheffield United manager. Someone who knows the league. I think that's fine. That seems like a decent appointment. Be interested to get Tomo FPL Blade's opinion on that. We will do. We'll have him on the pod in the summer. GK16. Hi, James. What are your thoughts about expectations in football? Some United pundits especially seem to think United have a duty to win the league every year. But times have changed since Ferguson. You have to remember, right? United and Liverpool get more media attention than everybody else. Media darlings and all that. It's a headline, right? It's a headline to say bad things about United Liverpool. It's a headline to say good things about those two particular football clubs. So media scrutiny is always going to be bigger for these clubs. Atul says, trying to get a head start on next FPL season, Dyer or Davis, mate. Depends who they're playing for, pal. Perlo's pen. Belgium's opening game of Euro 2020 is against doped up Russia in St. Petersburg. Do you think this could be a banana skin? Let's not suggest that they'll be doped up. Of course, it's an away game. I think St. Petersburg are going to be able to have at least half capacity crowds, aren't they? But Belgium should have too much for them, I think, to be honest. Amok says, I've been hearing in the media about squad overhauls and restructuring. Is it possible for teams like Spurs and Arsenal to do so in one transfer window? No. No, it's not. Spurs tried that when they sold Bale. Remember the Magnificent Seven? That didn't go so well, did it? Got to get the quality. You have to wait a bit longer for a bit of quality. Wait a bit longer rather than just throwing shit at a wall. No, you can't. I find it very difficult to see what Tottenham or Arsenal could do this summer to finish top four next year. West Ham are better than both right now. League table, don't lie. That's absolute reality. Leicester are better than both at the moment. I think there's every chance Leeds will finish above both next year. So I don't think there's an easy fix in one transfer window. There's a lot that can be done in a positive way. And it might be that Tottenham or Arsenal go on to have decent seasons, but it'll probably be more pain before it finishes good. And I think when you look at Chelsea, the Manchester clubs and Liverpool at the moment, it is extremely difficult to see Tottenham or Arsenal finishing above either of them next season. Alex Dobbins, Luke Shaw should have been saved. From what, Alex? The penalty last night. Yes, it was Luke Shaw's penalty. Quite right. Yes, thank you. Let's talk Andy's in. Says, when does FPL launch? Well, I thought you were in the know, Andy. I see you leaving Scalp. You've got all the ITK, haven't you, mate? Congrats on an amazing season, my friend. Shravam says, you can reach the Sheffield United. Do you reckon he gets them promoted next season? Yeah, good chance. I mean, I'm hearing the news live like everybody else. RACS is asking Andy a question. Jump on Andy's stream. He's got enough subscribers. FPL telling Josh, hi, James. Andy, are we doing some content together this summer, by the way, mate? Yeah, let's do something. FPL telling Josh, hi, James. Hope you're well, mate. FPL aside, which players are you looking forward to watching in the league next season? Francisco Sierrauto of Watford. Ishmael Assar of Watford. Emi Buendia of Arsenal. Throw one out there for you. Anybody new? Anybody new? It's always good to see new faces in the league, isn't it? Some new signings. If you said like a team that I'm most looking forward to seeing next season, it's be Leeds again. Be Leeds. I think they really could kick on next year. I think it's possible. Alexander Kirov, I honestly don't think England assets will do well against Croatia. However, the other two group games look decent. FPL soccer crazy. Who is the oldest, yourself or Andy at Let's Talk FPL? I'm not sure, mate. I'm 37. I think Andy's younger than me, isn't he? He must be. He's got more energy than me anyway. Alexander Kirov, do you know what are the prizes regarding Euro Fantasy? Does only the winner get something? I've not looked, Alexander. I'm not going to bullshit you, mate. I haven't researched it at all yet. Jim says, all right, James, maybe Spurs should agree to loan Kane to City for a year so he can win some trophies. Then he can come back and win you promotion. Surely that is a win, that. No. What would make more sense is if Tottenham sell Kane to City for 120 million or so and then buy him back for about 30 in a couple of years. Why loan him for free? Let's flog him off for 90 million for a couple of years. I would not be surprised by that, by the way, if Kane went to Man City and then came back to Tottenham when he was 31 or 32 or something. I could see that. Mac Wong, will Brentford players next season in FPL be like Leeds United players this season? Well, we haven't got promoted yet. He's saying Tony looking like the new Bamford FPL-wise. Not really, mate, because Tony scored a lot more this season than what I think Bamford scored last season. Bamford got 16, I want to say, in the championship last season. So Tony will be very interesting, but he'll be overpriced. Be like six and a half million or so. You've got to remember, he's going to be coming into one of the weakest teams in the league, assuming he stays there, because there will be some interest possibly to buy him. Alexander says, Jukanovic was a manager in my team, Levski Sofia, before going to England. He's a very good manager, and I'm sad we parted ways with him too soon. Atul Balaji, this might take a dark turn, I'm sorry. But who are these rotten players at Spurs? From the outside to me, there are a few talented players in the club, or is it a question of attitude? No, I don't necessarily think it is an attitude thing, actually. When Pochettino came in 2014, there were some rotten apples in that Tottenham squad, and he got rid of them eventually. To be honest, he got rid of most of them within a year. I think it's more quality. It's just quality is bad. It's bad. And people keep saying, Tottenham need a new goalkeeper. I've said this before. I said this 6 months ago. It's like the eighth priority in terms of position that Tottenham needs to replace. Arguably ninth. I saw some statistical model in The Athletic this week that Lloris, in terms of expected goals conceded, was the one who outperformed it the best. Goalkeeper is not a big problem for Tottenham. But if we assume Kane's going, and I think there's every chance Son goes as well, then Tottenham need a whole new team. Because the quality, you take them two out, it's a bottom half team. It's not a joke. I'm not deluded. I don't see it any differently. People like Højbjerg, he's a good player. He's so fucking overrated, honestly. We need a whole new team. Whole new team. And that's not going to happen overnight. Pochettino inherited a crap team first time round in 2014. That team was dead. And he helped take it forward. So I wouldn't say it's so much bad. Like, I wouldn't. Like, Højbjerg's attitude's good, right? I think he tries his all every game. That's why I'm always a bit loath to criticise him too much. I never think he's not trying. And the same goes for a lot of them players. Not good enough. It's a reality. Callum Stokes' thoughts on Wolves next season. I don't know enough about the manager. I need to research it. I think, as I discussed on one of maybe the Patreon pod on Monday, that suddenly, if you've got sort of Jimenez, Traore, Podence, Neto back fit again at some point, then it's a strong front four, isn't it? We're talking about a different proposition. But I think it could get worse. Could get worse. I think in an odd way, I think it would be harder for Wolves to get back into the top 10 than to get relegated. I think it's probably more chance for that at the moment. But there are some good players there. I think midfield, they seem to have completely lost their legs. Defensively poor, really poor. Goalkeeper, I mean, people talk about my goalkeeper a lot. Wolves, Patricio, it's average. It's shot stopping, it's not good enough, in my opinion. So I think Wolves need a lot of reinforcements. Ironically, what's been their strength for so long, I think, has now become their weaknesses, and they need to look at it. Andrew Tavey, Andy's in his 20s, is he? Fuck me. Essence says, which Euro 2020 team do you think will do better than everyone gives them credit for? I'm going to say Scotland to keep them happy up north. Luke Hopkinson, who would you want at Spurs, James? And who is your player with your eye on coming up for FPL? Who do I want at Spurs? As I said, there's a number of players, bottom half of teams who I'd I'd strip naked. I mean, how much can we strip from Leicester? They're obviously not a bottom half team. But if we sell Kane, can we take Tielemans and Ndidi, for example? Why would they come to us? Same thing. I mean, there's loads of players in the bottom half. For the majority of bottom half teams, that go, yep, he'd be good for us. He'd be good for us. Loads of them. FPL, I don't know prices yet, Luke. Think about it, mate. Other than Kane will be 13 million at Man City and everyone will still probably start with him. Callum Stokes, not sure if you've covered, but which seven from the England squad would you take out? Have covered. Clean Sheet Wipeout says, if Kane does go to, I think you mean leave Spurs, do you think City change the way they play to accommodate him? Or will he be expected to adapt his current playing style that he mentioned he enjoys in Neville's interview? Well, I think there's times he can come and drop in and do that. It's not pretend that the likes of Sterling and Mahrez can't go beyond and play those roles. I think there's a lot of games where we'll be asked to kind of stay between the width of the penalty box more. So I think Kane's evolved to the extent that he can play both roles, right? It's not an issue. They can go direct and knock it up into him. We spoke, me and you earlier, Matt, about the game when City went very defensive at Southampton in December in the second half. I mean, they could have done with Harry Kane that day to knock it into him, hold the line up front, get runners in support off that. Kane's a complete forward. He can play within the same position. He can play very different roles in a game situation. And that's what makes him elite as well. Alexander Kirov, Portugal to win the Euros again. They've got a good chance. SN, do you mind discussing your team of the season? Not sure if you covered it before. I won't discuss it now because you can have a listen to Tuesday's podcast, our 2020-2021 awards. And I think by the end of it, me and Suj were in agreement about what our team of the season was. Andy from Let's Talk says, I'm not in my 20s. Atul says, what about Ndombele, Lo Celso, Lamela, Bergwijn, Moura? They can all go, mate. Can all go. I don't think Ndombele's got he's not got the stomach for it, mate. He's wonderfully talented. Lo Celso's a good player. He's not a great player. Lamela, I quite like Eric Lamela, but he's a frustrating figure, isn't he? Bergwijn, he's okay. He's still young. I mean, same Lucas Moura, I don't mind if these players stay. These ain't first choice players, mate. They're not. Alexander Kiros says, how far do you think England will go? I'm going to say last 16. And Johnson Hemingway saying, Andy just had his 40th, didn't he? But Andy, from Let's Talk FPL, you know me, my friend. Let's have a bit of a DM chat today. Let's get a date booked in for July. Come on with us. I've got a date in mind already. I just ain't messaged you yet. Me and Andy, we'll do something together in the summer. We'll leave it there, guys. Thanks very much for everybody who submitted questions. Good fun, that. Nice to bring the stream back. As already said, Clash of the Correspondents tomorrow. FPL Pringle rotation, FPL previewing Saturday's Champions League final between Manchester City and Chelsea. For our patrons, we got a quiz on the two clubs in Europe coming up later today. And tomorrow we'll have a bit of a weekend preview. We'll be reviewing the Europa League final. We'll talk about the England squad. We'll talk about the playoff finals and the Champions League final. A bit of a weekend preview for the weekend. A reminder for those who are not on Patreon, if you sign up before the 31st of May, June and July is free. Content will be continuing throughout the summer. All of our Euro 2020 podcasts will be freely available to everybody. We've got some exciting planned content weeks for after the Euros, which we'll be talking about in the coming weeks as well. Thanks very much, everyone, for the benefit of those listening on the audio. Cue music, please, Manchup.
Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.